Welcome. This is the Commitment to Excellence podcast. I'm Sean Quimby. I'm your host. I am a licensed clinical social worker with 25 or so years of experience. I am bringing you this podcast to help you and me make a commitment to excellence, to be the best we can be at whatever it is we choose to pursue, at everything we choose to do. So today, this should be episode 17. I think I'm going to record two episodes today, but my plan is for this to be episode 17. Today you're going to get kind of a story with hopefully a bit of a lesson at the end. So when I decided to do this, this is going to be a podcast that goes in many different directions. Basically, all the things that I like about podcasts that I like to listen to, that's what I'm giving you here. Maybe someday something will stick and I'll refine my focus a little bit. But in the meantime, it's just kind of, you know, whatever comes to mind. So leadership topics, science-based things, clinical research, my professional and personal experiences, stories, guests at different points in time, talking about, you know, how you can make a commitment to be the best that you can be. And when I listen to podcasts, there's a bunch of book reviews. That's another one. I like those a lot, and those have been pretty popular episodes so far. So thanks for the feedback on that. But I also like it when people, like, you get to know a podcaster a little bit anyway. It's obviously not a friendship type relationship, but you get to know them. And I like that. I like it when folks tell stories. So I'm going to tell you a story today about some experiences I had yesterday and what led up to that. And, you know, hopefully my hope is there'll be a little lesson at the end. So I like to share things that I'm thinking about, things that make me focus a little bit, pay attention to things that I think are important for me to think about, and maybe for you too. So first I'm going to start with a shout out. And I don't know if any of you are listening or not, but I had a really pleasant experience yesterday with a bunch of mostly gals that I interfaced with, nurses in the day surgery at Maine General in Waterville yesterday. What a great group of gals I got the chance to work with yesterday. My doc was the only male that I happened to, there were for sure other males milling about, but my surgeon was the only one who happened to be a male. The anesthesiologist and the nurse anesthesiologist and the nurses who all took care of me yesterday were all females. Not that that matters, but so I'm just explaining. When I say gals, that's mostly who I'm talking about, except for my surgeon aside. So I had a really great experience, and they were talking at times about what a great voice I have and what a good voice it is, would be for radio and that kind of thing. And my wife gave me a plug and said, well, he has a fairly new podcast that he just started. And they were all like, ooh, what is it? So, you know, I told them, we talked about it. They all said they were going to listen. So if you are listening, hello. And thanks again. You were awesome yesterday. I really appreciated it. So I'm recording this on Friday with one eye open. So the backstory here is when I was born with a lazy eye. And I think there's a fancier name for it. It's like strabismus or something like that. But lazy eye, right? And when I was one, I had surgery. Obviously, I don't remember that. When I was five, I had surgery again. Straightened it out. Looked good. And, you know, I've always had a dominant eye. But the lazy eye, apparently, there's a mileage limitation of about 40-ish years on those surgeries. The muscles start to relax again over time. So I learned this in a very interesting way. So I went to see a new eye doctor a couple of years ago. Well, it was probably like 6-ish years ago. And she was kind of a brash gal. I guess she has a reputation for that. And she comes walking in the room and she just takes a look at me and she says something to the effect of, whoa, won't you get that fixed? And I was like, which thing are you referring to about me? Should I get fixed? And she said, your lazy eye. She's like, that's horrible. And like, you might be thinking I'm exaggerating, but I am not. That is how she spoke to me. And I said, what are you talking about? And she's like, your lazy eye. It's bad. And I said, no, I had that fixed when I was a kid. And she said, yeah, that don't last forever. She says it's pretty bad. So like, hasn't anyone ever said anything to you about it? And no one really had. I have had some experiences where I've been facilitating group sessions and in meetings and stuff. And sometimes if you're in a circle, you know, I'd be looking at somebody and they wouldn't be sure who I was looking at because my good eye is looking at the person I want to talk to, but then my bad eye would be looking at some other random person in the room. So it came up there from time to time, but other than that, no one ever really said anything to me about it. So I was pretty taken aback by her reaction to my eye. So I came home and I said something to my wife about it. And again, this might not be an exact quote, so I'm not deliberately harassing her, but she was like, "Oh yeah, it's pretty bad." And I said, "Do you think maybe you might have wanted to mention that to me at some point in time?" And she said, "Well, I thought you knew." I'm like, how am I supposed to know? I can't really see it, because when I look back, I just never noticed it. So then we started doing all this Zoom stuff, right, when the C word hit, and I was doing all the work on video, and I always, usually there's a window that has me in it up on the screen, and I started noticing it, and I just started getting, I guess self-conscious about it. It started bothering me, and then I was thinking about some other things that I want to do and whatnot, and I just said, I'm going to get it fixed. So finally, I decided I went to see eye surgeon, and he's like, "Yeah, we can fix it." Blah, 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 blah. Long story short. So into the OR I went yesterday, and now I get to the hospital, and I've had a bunch of surgeries, and all of them have gone fine, right? My neck surgery that I had last year, I bounced back from that. You know, in terms of the procedure itself, the recovery sucked. It was horrible. But the procedure itself was great, and I had, you know, I did well with the anesthesia. When I was in high school, I had knee surgery when I was playing football, and minor knee surgery. And after the fact, in the recovery room, I had a bunch of problems, breathing issues, and just all kinds of stuff, mostly unrelated to the surgery. And it was, you know, I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember it was pretty scary. And it was, you know, I don't think my life was ever in danger or anything like that, but it was rough. I didn't feel good. I ended up being in the hospital like a day and a half instead of just going home that afternoon. So anytime I go into surgery, I get really anxious, and it's getting so much better. So because I've had some good experiences, right? That's exposure therapy. You do things you're scared of over and over and over again, and they start to get easier. So yesterday I was pretty chill, but still nervous and anxious and, you know, a little scared, I suppose. Anytime they put you under, it's out of your control, and there's always some risks, and I'm not getting any younger, and, you know, this whole thing. So anyway, I just went into it with a pretty good attitude. And of course my wife was there with me, and she's amazing and supportive and knows that I'm nervous. So she chats me up and keeps me on the path, and that's great. And yeah, you know, so it's just one of the thousands of things that she does for me to support me. So shout out to you. You know who you are. You're amazing. And I appreciate you. And moments like this really, you know, bring that into focus. Not that I need a moment like this. I'm pretty focused on it all the time. And I think you know that. And I think anybody that knows me knows that. I think pretty highly of my wife. She's a pretty amazing human being. And I would not be who I am or where I am were it not for her. So anyway, if you see her, give her a pat on the back for being awesome. But the nursing stuff, like, everybody was just so great. And I think, like, it's a job, and it's a grind, and it's a work, and you know, they've probably got people that they're dealing with that are nasty, and they're like scared, and you know, man, that's gotta be a tough job. And they run that place like it's super efficient, which is a little depersonalizing, right? Like you're almost in like a, I compared it to a barn setup with sort of the, you know, all the bays in the barn and the cattle comes in and out of the OR. And, you know, it's super efficient and, you know, but it's a little impersonal, but just, it was a really great experience. And it could have been a bad, you know, if people were like nasty to me or short with me or, you know, intolerant of my anxiety or anything like that. And I specifically, one nurse in particular was like, I'm going to get you something to help. When I probably didn't need it, but I definitely wanted something to help me chill out a little bit. Like for me, the scariest part's like when they start wheeling you from your cattle stall into the OR, right? That's horrifying. Like you're completely out of control. So not long before they brought me in, she hit me with some good stuff and I was like, yeah, good to go. And you know, anyway, she did that for me. I can't, I think her name was Kathy, but I don't remember for sure. I'm so bad with names. But anyway, if you are listening, you know who you are. You hit me with the good stuff and I can't tell you how much I appreciated that. It really just made the worst part of the process so easy. I woke up and she, you know, they brought me back out of the recovery room and she was there waiting for me and she was awesome. So had such a good experience. It just got me thinking about how sometimes we take the importance of our work for granted. I know I do this. I know I take my job for granted sometimes and the impact that I have on not just the people that I work with, the clients that I work with, the families, the stakeholders, but my coworkers, the staff that I work with, the people that I supervise. I am doing a better job of paying attention to that these days. I know I've talked about before, I'm a little prone to inadvertently stepping on people's toes sometimes, which is not at all my intention, but I can be a little gruff. I can be a tad reactive if somebody says something that I'm pretty sure is off course. I will quickly correct, and I don't always do it in a way that feels super supportive or, you know, comforting, I guess, which is, I know, not very therapist of me. And I expect people, I'm like, well, everyone should just know the things that I know, but everybody doesn't know the things that I know, and they don't have the 25 plus years of experience that I have and some of the education and training and all that stuff, right? So it's my job as a leader to do that in a way that is mindful and to think about the impact that I have on people and my ability to shape their day, their week, their hour, their career to some degree, right? And I was thinking about that yesterday and how the folks, the gals mostly that I interacted with yesterday had a lot of power. You know, I was in a pretty, you're going in for surgery. You're literally in a vulnerable position, right? Like they make you take all these clothes off and put on this Johnny thing that your hiney hangs out of and, you know, that never fit me because they don't go across my shoulders and, you know, I've got big, broad shoulders. Like that's a, you're in a compromised position there, right? And people can take advantage, not purposefully, obviously. I don't think anybody would take deliberate advantage of that, but they certainly could, take you for granted. And it's not just like medical people, right? You know, in my industry, it's the same thing. I think of, you know, going into a mechanic shop, right? Like I'm not a super mechanically inclined person. If people wanted to take advantage of me, they probably could. You hear stories about that all the time. And, you know, where you take something to one mechanic and something just feels a little fishy and then you take it to another and they're like, yeah, no, you don't need that fixed. That's not. So, you know, I mean, you can have that ability. Every job that we do is important. And I've heard a lot of people over the years talk about, I didn't go to college or I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Like it doesn't matter, right? Like if you are performing some kind of service that has a positive impact on somebody in some way, shape or form, like you're connecting, you're making an impact on other people's lives. And that's really important work. And if people are willing to pay you money for that service, then it's important. And you have an obligation to think about your service delivery, how you deliver it, what impact that you're having on that person. Are these people in a vulnerable position? What's their story? What's their state? It's super important to think about that. And it's just, you know, when you really kind of drill down into it and you think about the impact that you have on people, right? Like my experience yesterday, like I said, it was a great, as far as having a surgery can be great, it was a great experience. And it could have been different. And, you know, part of it, I think, in, you know, I brought a pretty good attitude to it, I think. Like, I tried to be on my game and kind of lighthearted, which was for me just as much as it was for everybody else. But I think when you do that, you have the ability to influence the people around you. My hope is, and maybe this is my delusion, that the team of people that worked with me yesterday, I think, enjoyed interfacing with me and my wife yesterday. Like, you know, they probably don't, I'm making some assumptions here, but they probably don't always get to interface with people like that. So, you know, my hope is they were like, oh, you know, that was a rewarding experience professionally. I love that when I get to work with people like that. That is part of the reason that I'm doing this podcast and shifting some of the focus, like, of my private practice stuff to work with people that are, you know, what I'm calling a little more self-motivated and a little more dialed in. And that's not to take away from anybody else, but it's just when you're working with someone that's really engaged, like athletes and, you know, professionals and coaches and that kind of thing, like, that's just, you get a little more out of it. So my hope is that that's the experience that folks had with me yesterday. But regardless, that for sure was the experience that I had with them. So, you know, I guess the takeaway for this is it's a job, right? It feels like work. It's the grind, you know, all those, the nurses and the docs that, like, they just do that over and over and over and over again. But that's a person that's getting wheeled into that room that has thoughts and feelings. And we all know, like, I have declared before and I will do so again, I am far from the most touchy-feely therapist person in the world. I'm never going to be. I don't even think I want to be. I think me being a little more stoic and a little more, I guess some people would say, cold at times, I think that makes me good at what I do in certain ways for certain people. And it's a skill set that I don't want to relinquish. But we're talking about human beings. Even if we're not talking about human beings, we're talking about somebody's car. Like, that's somebody's property. It's they worked hard to pay for it. They, you know, it's their car. It's their furnace at their house, whatever. It's, we had a great customer service the other day where I had severed here to the house that I had ordered quite a while ago, and it finally showed up. And it, you know, I paid a lot of money for it, and the guys that were like, you know, I was watching them, not because I was making sure they were doing a good job, but frankly, I was intrigued by how they were going to accomplish what they were going to accomplish. They were moving something really heavy into the house through the doorway, the whole nine yards. And I was just like, how are they going to do this? Just the two of them. And I asked them, like, you want some help? And they basically just said, probably be better if you stayed out of the way. I was like, all right, but I wanted to see how they were doing it. They did it great, not a scratch on the wall, nothing. Like, they offered to sweep up and the whole thing. I'm like, no, I got that. But anyway, like, you know, they were just dropping something off, doing their job, but it was a good positive impact. And their customer service was great. They took their time explaining stuff and, you know, getting everything set up the way it needed to be, and then off they went. But you know, it's a job, sure, yeah, it feels like a grind sometimes. I know that, you know, I have a tendency, like, I keep score sometimes, which is a super unhealthy thing to do, and, you know, but take a moment from time to time and appreciate what you provide and what you do for other people. And how you do it. Do you do a good job? Is it a quality service? Do people walk away feeling like I do today about the experience I had yesterday? That's important. And probably why, like, some of us started out in our jobs just to just to have a job, and it turned into a career, and it's a thing, and you know, but you can make it into something meaningful. But I know for me, I did what I did. I didn't do it to get rich. I mean, obviously I wanted to make a living, and I knew I was going to have to pay my school loans off and all that jazz. You know, I think my desire to create significant income came over time. It certainly was not where I started. I started out wanting to make a difference in the lives of families and kids and safer communities. And I'm not sure why that sort of touched me the way it did early on, but I just, you know, I felt like I saw a place that I could make a difference. And, you know, I think it's really important to remind yourself of that. I think, you know, all the nurses and doctors that I worked with yesterday, they all went to school because they wanted to do that. They wanted to help people. Sure, they wanted to make a good living. The medical field's a great living, and it probably should be. It's highly skilled stuff, and, you know, they have staffing shortages and the whole nine yards. So they should be reimbursed, and I have no issue with that. But it's a good paying job, usually have good benefits, that kind of thing. But probably most of those people went into that line of work because they wanted to help people. They wanted to make a difference. They wanted to do something meaningful. I bet that gets lost in the paperwork and the hustle and the bustle and the shuffle. And I bet it gets lost in there sometimes. I know it does for me when I'm sitting in meetings with bureaucrats that have never done the job that I do and they think they know how to do it. And, you know, it's frustrating, but I think it's really important to ground yourself in that from time to time. Think about why it is you do what you do. Think about how you do what you do. Think about the people on the other end of that, right? Like, I'm a person, you're a person. We all want to be treated that way. It is, I'm sure, very easy to forget about that from time to time, especially if things aren't going smoothly or if people are not treating you respectfully, people don't appreciate you, right? Like, I can probably count on two hands the number of times I've had families that I've worked with in my career who I feel like meaningfully or genuinely thanked me and appreciated the work that I did with their families. But those are the ones that stand out, right? Those are the ones that I still think about to the, you know, years and years and years later. I can think of a handful of families that I worked with specifically who meaningfully said thank you and appreciated the work that I did with their kids, with their family, the support that I gave them. And that means a lot. That's why I do what I do. And, you know, maybe they got something special for me. I don't know. But they didn't get less of me because of their appreciation. I can tell you that right now. That reciprocal nature has power and takes on a life of its own. And I think, you know, maybe that happened yesterday. I don't know. But, you know, I know the attitude I brought to that yesterday. I can't imagine that it hurt. I know how I feel when I work with people who bring that attitude to the table. So, you know, it's a two-part thing, right? The attitude that you bring to the professional relationship and then the attitude that the professional brings to the relationship. It's a two-part thing, but just think about your impact. I think I'm probably starting to ramble a little bit here, but I don't know. I was just thinking about this yesterday and, you know, how we take for granted sometimes probably the most important parts of our job, right? Like, I know all those nurses and docs in there had to get their paperwork done. They got to do all the billing and all that stuff. But the most important part of what they did yesterday was take care of me and make me feel safe and cared for and make sure I got out of there safely so that I could get back to putting out podcasts and working with kids and families and the adults that I work with and, you know, just taking care of my family. And they did that for me. So what do you do, right? What do you do for the people that you serve? Take a minute and appreciate it. Think about it. I believe that this kind of reflection will make us better at what we do from time to time. It's important to reflect on these things. And, incorporate that into our work. I know I'm going to try. I hope you do too. It is part of how I am making a commitment to excellence, to be the best that I can be at everything that I do. I want to thank folks for listening. Downloads continue to be up a little bit, which is obviously a good little ego stroke for me. Again, there's a Facebook group, A Commitment to Excellence, not super active yet. The Instagram, that's my, I like Instagram. So A Commitment to Excellence on Instagram is where you can find the Instagram page. If you like this, you enjoyed any of my shows, give the shows a share. That is the best way to do this. I'm not doing any advertising, and I'm not going to anytime soon. I'm not taking any ads on the show yet. I'm just looking to get the reps in under my belt and build something, hopefully, that becomes special someday. It's already special to me, but hopefully on some level it is special to you as well. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for your support. And I hope that if you are listening to this, you've made it this far. I hope you're in the process of making today a great day.